Hi, my name is Steve Elding, and I want to welcome you to this mini course on the Serenity Prayer. I have a little slide I want to show you. This was sort of a retreat center my brother and I worked on this past spring in Georgia. And this was the first morning I woke up and I took this picture of the sunrise out the back door, and I thought, this is a picture of serenity. So we're going to look at the Serenity Prayer, and this is how it goes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Loving one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. All right, the author of the Serenity Prayer is Reinhold Niebuhr. He was a theologian in the 30s and the 40s and 50s. And I thought, you know, I could maybe bore you with some of his life details, or I could sort of help you understand the man. And I thought, you know, I'm going to just give you a few quotes of Reinhold Niebuhr, and you'll get a sense of who he was. Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. Another quote. There was a time when I had all the answers. Remember that? Maybe in your teenage years you had all the answers. My real growth began when I discovered that the questions to which I had the answers were not the important questions. Do you find, some of you, that as you get older, your questions become harder? You know, when you're young, you have sort of a simplistic view of life, and you start thinking you've figured things out. But as you get older, harder questions come to mind, questions that aren't so easily figured out. Another quote. Ultimately, evil is done not so much by evil people, but by good people who do not know themselves and do not probe deeply. Another one. It's always wise to seek the truth in our opponent's error and the error in our own truth. I think this one is very appropriate in our, we live in this information age, so-called information age. It's often the misinformation age. You know, the internet is a wonderful tool. You're taking this class via the internet, but the internet spews out information as if it was all true, and of course it's not all true. And how do you know? And people will watch something on the internet, and then now they think they're experts on whatever it is that they learn. And often it seems to me that people have become more sure of themselves, or a little bit presumptuous in what they think they know. People have become very opinionated, and they let their opinions be known, and they're often feisty about any opinion that is different. And so people have a hard time having a discussion, I think, especially when people disagree. It becomes often a conflict. We have conflict in marriages, conflict in families, conflict in churches, conflict in communities, conflict globally. It seems like our world is filled with conflict. And there's no way often of coming together, even as a husband and wife. Husbands and wives end up fighting over the same things for decades without making any progress whatsoever. And in part because of what Reinhold Niebuhr is saying here, that we often are satisfied with our own particular view, and we think our opponent, the person that we're talking to, that we're arguing with, we think that their view has no merits of any sort. It's sort of this all or nothing. And therefore, how do you ever resolve anything? How do you ever meet in the middle? It's always wise to seek the truth in our opponent's error. In other words, you believe that the person you're talking to is in error, but is there some truth to what he or she is saying? And then you have your own opinion about things, but is there some error? Could you be wrong about one particular aspect of what you're talking about? See, if people had this attitude, we could actually have more profitable discussions. All right, so he wrote the Serenity Prayer in the 1930s. I think it was for some convention. He just, you know, he's one of these kind of authors that he sort of writes profound things. And he did it for some convention, but it didn't really go anywhere until the 1940s. In the 1940s, the AA people, AA Alcoholics Anonymous, was started by two men who were trying to help people get past the addiction of alcohol. They wrote what is known as the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And one of the traditions, if you go to an AA meeting even today, one of the traditions is to end the meeting or at some point in the meeting say this Serenity Prayer together. And because of the popularity of AA, this prayer became known by a wider audience. So what we're going to do with the eight sessions that follow is we're going to look at each piece of the Serenity Prayer, and we're going to discuss it from two points of view. One point of view is how the Serenity Prayer can help you in your life, how it can be applied to your day, and secondly, how the Serenity Prayer can be used in ministry. As you go out in your day and people are hurting or going through things, the Serenity Prayer might be one way that you can sort of bring God into the conversation, prayer into the conversation, hope into the conversation. And in order to help you do both of those things, we have several Serenity Prayer merchandise. Here's a cup with the whole Serenity Prayer on it. We have some jewelry. Here's a bracelet. Here's a couple of pendants and necklaces that all have the Serenity Prayer. So, you know, as you go out in your day and you're drinking your coffee, it's like you're taking this prayer with you in your day. So it's a sort of a subtle reminder to you that God is worth trusting, that even though things might be difficult, there is hope. Or maybe you're wearing the Serenity Prayer, and it's just a reminder to you. But it's also a reminder to the people that you deal with, and it's a reminder for you to share the Serenity Prayer with someone who is going through a difficult time and needs a word of hope. So it's for you, and it's for helping others. So I'm glad you're on board. I look forward to spending the next eight sessions with you.